All right, shalom everyone. Some of you had noticed on Shavuos, my mother was here. So, being a good mother, after Shavuos, she asked me, she said, you know, how come you didn't speak at all about the fact that the year is almost over and only a couple of weeks left and, you know, try to focus them. So I said to my mom, I said, that wasn't the avodah of Shavuos. In Shavuos, we got to focus on, you know, as if it's never ending. You know, we just got to try to focus and appreciate what we have. And but afterwards, I'd like to speak about it a little bit. Okay, so we're gathered here today. I want to share with you a short idea. The pasuk says in Parshas Chayisara that Avraham zaken baba yamin. Avraham became older and became a zaken and baba yamin. He came with the days. Very unclear what those words mean. Became older. The Gemara says in Bava Metzia and Daf Pei Zayin, and the Medrash says this also, that Avram actually davened that he should look old. Until that point, people didn't age. And he davened that he should look different than Yitzchak. He should look like the elder. Now, this is very important, okay? This is the most important tip you're going to get before going home. Imagine getting home and you go and you get off the airplane and you see your mom. And you say, Mom, I haven't seen you in a year. Man, you look so old. Right? Don't do that, guys. Okay? That is a bad thing to do. You should not. But we don't, in our culture, we don't value like looking old. That's like a horrible, horrible insult. Right? And here, Avram Avinu is davening that he should look old. And it sounds like that's like a great thing. To the extent that Rav Pinkus points out, that if you think about like the Gedolim of the last generation, so what do we have? We have the altar of Narvadik, the altar of Kelm, the altar of Slobodka. What does altar mean? Altar is Yiddish for elder, meaning the old man of Slobodka. The honorable title that we gave people were altars. Now they translate into Hebrew. We can't handle that to be called the older person. So what are we? We're the Saba. The Hebrew is the Saba of Narvadik, the Saba of Kelm, the Saba, the grandfather, like it's like a little bit of a nicer term. But in the olden days, the term that you gave to the Gadol was the altar, the elder person. Rav Hirsch points out that in our world, where we don't feel good with that term of being old, right? What's the Hebrew word for the word old? Yashan. So the word Yashan also means, like for example, if you find a stale piece of bread, right? You say, oh, it's yashan. It's old, it's stale. But also, it's the same word for going to sleep at night, right? Or ishon is the night. The night, going to sleep, something that's old, are all stale. They're not productive. They're not moving, right? They're depleted of any energy. That's what it means. Something that's depleted of energy, that's yashan. So none of us want to be that, right? And we don't want to be that thing. So of course we don't want there. But that's not the way it used to be. In the Torah, the Zakenim were the leaders, they're the elders. We call them Zakenim altar. So what's the deal? What happened all of a sudden? Why in the olden days was the way to address people of great honor by calling them old? And nowadays, like, we're scared of that whole idea. So I think it's related to the way we view the time period before becoming old. What's that? So the whole culture that I think that we're used to and I think we're plagued with is that everything is focused on getting to a certain end, certain goal. Okay? So for example, let's say you want to be a doctor. Okay? My family, they're all doctors, so I've heard this many times. Okay, so you go to medical school for 8 years, 10 years, my brother 12 years, okay, till you finish. So what do you have to do in that's without college, okay? So in college, what do you have to do to get into medical school? You have to take organic chemistry. Now, if you ask any doctor if they ever used organic chemistry in anything in their entire practice, the answer is no. How about physics? That's also a prerequisite. No, absolutely not. But for some reason, that's part of the curriculum. And you have to do it. Why? It's not going to help you. You're not going to learn anything. It's just to get you to the next step. We're all built, the whole culture, our whole educational system is built on giving us information. We have to do certain things in order to the Gadarasa. Some of the stuff, yes, are useful. So yeah, we can learn some things, right? But there are many things that the ultimate goal is really just to get there. Why do I have to get good grades? Not necessarily because I want to learn something. Sometimes you get good grades without learning anything. If you're really smart, then you can do it like that, right? But the goal is to get good grades. Why? So you can get into the next school, into the next area of life that we want, which is going to be useful for us. A lot of our culture is based on just getting to the next step. Now, forget about school and jobs for a minute. Let's just think about our plane ride home. Okay, so before a person gets on a plane, they all know they have to make sure they have the right music on their phone or the MP3 player, whatever it is going to be. They have the right reading material. They have the right pillow for their sleeping, right? Our goal is very focused on, look, I have to land. I have to get there. I'm going to have to sit, unfortunately, for 10 hours on the plane. I have to figure out how to pass my time. I have to figure out how to just, like, sleep it off or watch it off or whatever it is just so that I could get there. That's the point. We don't look at seizing the moment. We look at trying to pass the moment. And we do this, we all could find in many ways, in many areas of our life, where this comes about. So, if we look at a lot of our life as just time periods that we have to pass in order to get to where we want to get to, so eventually when we get to that spot, so we're not built any more than we were beforehand. We didn't gain much. We got through what we had to get to, but we're not bigger people because of what we passed through. As opposed to the Hebrew word zaken, what does that come from? So Chazal tell us, it's the acronym, Zeh Shekana Chachma. What's a zaken? A person who acquired knowledge. He went day by day, he went through his life, and every day he acquired something that was super significant. So by the time he got to, we don't even know if zaken means an older person, but when he ever got to that destination, he's loaded with tons of stuff, tons of chachma, or tons of anything that he gained through the years, through the days. I always tell guys, and guys start ask me sometimes, you know, what should I do for the summer, what should I do here, what should I do there? So I've said it often. I said, you know, the $1,000 that you're going to make in your job right now is really not going to do much for you for the rest of your life. But if you get a job that will give you a certain experience, that will give you whether a skill experience or whether an Avodas Hashem experience where you can actually grow from it. So for the rest of your life, you are going to be bigger because of what you acquired during this time. And this is a, we'll call it a luxury, but it's something that all of you have at this stage in your life, whether you're coming back here next year, whether you're going to school next year, whether you're working, whatever it's going to be. During these years, we have the opportunity to seize certain moments to make sure that every single day is building us. It's building us. What's our life going to be like in 5 years from now? What's going to be in 10 years from now? The people who use, and I see it with my own friends, the people who use these years to build themselves every single day, every single year with certain experiences, so in 5 years from now, they're way ahead the other guy who just was, whatever, doing anything, passing the time to get to those 5 years, to get to that point. So we could grow, we could develop. But we have to recognize that every single moment is very, very important. The Or Chaim HaKadosh brings a mashal in Parshas Vayechi. He says there was a king. There's always a king in every mashal. Okay, so there was a king. And the king, and who's the king always? Hashem. Okay, we got every mashal in the mashal. Okay, so there was a king, and the king had this mountain, and he was able to chisel out all of these different stones. Okay, and he'd give out hundreds of thousands of stones to different people. And he said, this is the rule. The rule is that every day you're allowed to take one of the stones, and you're allowed to polish it, you're allowed to cut it, you're allowed to do whatever you want. And then at the end, I'm going to come back and I'm going to see what you did with all the different stones. Okay? So some time went, and everyone's working every single day, taking one stone. And he comes back, the king comes back at the end, and he looks at the stone and says, I can't believe it. Not only didn't you cut the stone well, or polish it well, or make it look nice, but you actually got it dirty. I mean, you got the stones dirty every single day. Like what were you doing? And the Or Chaim HaKadosh brings that this mashal was what the Arizal used to say applies to our neshama. That Hashem gives us lots of stones. Every single one of those stones is like a day. It's like a big neshama. We get a big nefesh, he writes. And every day we're supposed to take a piece, one piece of that nefesh, and that's the avoda for that day. You get that nefesh, that piece, you work on the nefesh, you polish the nefesh, you do mitzvos, unfortunately sometimes we do averos, and then at the end of the day, that piece of the nefesh goes back up. And that's it, it doesn't come back down again. And then every day, we take another piece of the nefesh, take another piece of the nefesh, and as the days get longer, as we get older, our nefesh gets a little bit smaller because so much already has gone back up. He explains that in the olden days, that's why people used to live much longer. The times that we're talking about of the Avos. People used to live a very long time. Why? Because Hashem gave very big nefeshes. Because you can handle it. You can handle it every single day, taking a piece for many, many, many long times, and each one giving back a polished diamond. They could do it. And then he saw people started to sully those pieces often, and he said, I'm not going to give them too much, I'm going to give them less. So therefore, people live for shorter periods of time. Or Chaim Kadosh points out, he says, that's why some people towards the end of their life, they're not able to think as well. Why? Because their thinking hinges on the size of their nefesh, and since part of their nefesh already is gone, so therefore they're not fully able to comprehend the way they were at a younger stage. But the idea is that every single day we get a piece, we get one of those stones, and we're able to go ahead and we're able to polish it, we're able to build it, we're able to develop it, we're able to maximize the potential of that, which builds for something much bigger. It builds for a much bigger picture. It builds for us to be able to be so much more successful in the future. And the Rav Gedalia Shor and Or Gedalia, he says that's what the end of the pasuk means. That Avram was a zaken ba bayamin. He came with days. What does that mean? That at the end of his life, he was able to come with like a whole sack load of days. Every day was a major accomplishment. Every day was something that he produced. And he comes with those days at the end of his life. And look at myself. Look what I've accomplished. Every single day was huge. Every single day was a growth opportunity. Every single day, he accomplished a lot more. So that's something that, look, I struggle with this to this day. I'll be very, very honest. This is a hard thing. But it's for us to wake up in the morning, we all have goals, and it's very important to set goals, right? We have the end of the Zman, we're going to finish a Masechta, we want to do this, we want to do that. We set our goals, and hopefully we keep to our goals. It's important to have goals because it pushes us along. But unfortunately, when we set goals, again, which we have to do, often we lose sight of each day individually. Okay, so I missed a day, big deal. You know, I slept late. Okay, big deal. Or I wasted my time. Okay, big deal. I'll catch up tomorrow. Right? Someone's doomed daf yomi. So he misses a day. Okay, so does two blah tomorrow. Like, what's the big deal? So in this, he'll make the siyum hashas with everyone else because he caught up. But he lost a day. A whole day. A whole day's gone. He lost it. It's gone. It's never coming back again. He didn't develop that day because of it. That's something that we have to try for the rest of our lives to think about. And especially when we leave yeshiva, right, you don't have someone tapping on your shoulder, where were you today? Okay, and you're back home, and you're in camp, or you have your job. There's much, 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 much more independence. Next year, if you're not going to be back here, whatever it's going to be, when you have all that independence, we're going to be faced, it's going to be one of the biggest challenges, believe it or not, this is one of the biggest challenges, is this hashkafa that we could appreciate, that we could seize every single moment, every single day, and we have to try to maximize it in the best way possible. So, we had an idea. Had an idea that we'll try to practice this already now. So starting today, okay, there are 12 days left of yeshiva. Okay, not including Shabbos. I'm saying 12 official learning days of yeshiva, which is extremely extremely sad. So sad, very sad. Okay, but there are 12 days left. So what I did was I made cards. Okay, now. This card says, Eish Gesher, 12 days left. Now, most of day one is gone, but we can still seize the opportunity, okay? If you have cards, it says you can write your name in it. I don't want to see this card. You're not submitting it to me. So you didn't really need your name on it, okay? But it's, you remember this yours. You keep it in your pocket, okay?
You put it in the
hotel? Yes, especially if it doesn't go well. You write a note, okay? And here, just the way I put it in here was you have every single day. Okay, the words are a little small. The you have every single day, and you have Shachris, Pun, Chamar, Seder 1, Seder 2, Seder 3, Project X, and a score. No one has to see this. You don't have to give it to your Rebbeim. You don't have to give it to your friends. You don't have to, nothing. This is totally just for you. What's the goal of this? The goal is just so we could start to appreciate what every single day means. Whatever day means, just to see it and to see what we could accomplish every single day. You want to change the scoring, however, you can do whatever you want. Mom, I just don't want to see it. You want to give it back to me? You want to show it to me? Please, I'd love to see it. I'm sure your Rebbeim would want to see it. But you know, but that's not the goal. It's not a miftzah where we're giving out prizes at the end. Okay, free iced coffee for whoever fills out the whole thing. No, you can have an iced coffee even if you don't fill it out. Yeah. Okay. But the idea here is just to appreciate we've 12 days. So what does that mean? How can we maximize the last few days? And again, the goal, there's a lot of goals here, but one of the major goals is just so we could appreciate this. Now, maybe you should do this for the rest of your lives and have a card. As I was making this, I'm like, wait, we should have done this from the beginning of the year. Okay, we'll think about it.
Next year, exactly.
But for now, it's irrelevant. 12 days, we could make 12 days in a super successful way to appreciate the Baba Bayamim. We want to be like Avraham Avinu. And we could come and say, look at my days. And every single Shacharis is important. The reason a Shacharis is important is not so at the end of our lives we could go to Hashem and say, look, I did 700 Shacharises. Look, that's irrelevant. It's, I did a Shacharis today. I did a Shacharis tomorrow. I did another Shacharis. It's all about that every single day. And when you see, as part of this thing, I would say, is to put some time into planning what's going to happen when you go back. Because this is what I do, okay? When I go to America to visit my family, so I know before I leave, and this happened to me after my Shana Bet, believe it or not, when I went back to America, so I got back there and I was all fired up and I was all ready to go and I was going to, learn all day and all night, no matter what. And I got there and all of a sudden I had to go to the doctor one day and the half hour appointment, getting there, coming back, waiting, et cetera, took 7 hours. So you end up not, and then my parents want, buy a suit and I have to go ahead and do this and I have to do an errand. And all good things. I didn't do any bad things. But you turn around at the end of the day, whoop, what happened? I was supposed to be learning 14 hours. I just came back from Shana Bet. Like, I'm super stark. And I got zero in. Like, what happened to my... And then Baruch Hashem, it was very hard. El Uzman, back in America, and my parents took me to Eretz Yisrael for Sukkos. And I came back, and I remember I sat by the Kotel, and I'm like, I have to refigure everything. I went back with the wrong plans. I thought I was going to do everything, and as if I never left yeshiva, and I missed the boat big time. And I reconfigured. I reconfigured what was practical, what was realistic, etc. And going back afterwards, I was able to be much more successful. So when you're thinking about days, so no one should say, okay, what am I doing? Oh, I'm going to have a job. When's that? 2 weeks after I get back. Okay, but what are the 2 weeks before? Oh, I have to do things. Like what? What do you have to do? Oh, I think my mother has a lot of things for me to do. Like what, for example? Just put it down on a piece of paper. What are the things that need to get done? That's okay to ask. And okay, we don't have to try. We shouldn't go to our parents and start boxing them into it. We have to be flexible, but we have to try to understand what is going to be needed. When is it going to be needed? How are we going to do it? Maybe, because what I try to do, I go to shul in the morning. I don't come back for X amount of time after that. I need to stay in shul, so I know that before I do those errands and all those types of things that have to happen. I know I learned. I knew I already did something and I already seized that moment. So we have to, over the course of these next 2 weeks, we have to try to also plan a practical every single day. From the airplane, when are we davening on the airplane? When are we davening when we get off the airplane? What are we doing that day? Who are we learning with? What are we doing? Et cetera. Just literally planning every single day. And I think that if we do it here while we're in yeshiva and it's easy to do it in yeshiva. Okay, we're used to it here. We have everything at our fingertips, so we can really do it over here. We can seize every moment of every single day now, and we start to using that to plan Mirzum for the future. We'll see that we're going to have super, super successful summers, and Mirzum the rest of our lives will be very, very, very successful. So my bracha to everyone here is that we're able to maximize the last 12 days of learning over here and milk it for everything that we have to offer. Milk the Rebbeim, milk the yeshiva, milk the kotel, milk Yerushalayim, milk it, milk the chevra. Just get it going. Make sure that we're saturated with everything that we want. And Be'ezus Hashem, this will be an excellent bridge for us for the future.
Amen. Amen. Amen.